You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two on your way here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Happy to be with you here alongside King, Fantasy Executive Wall Street, Greg Sussman, chilling out with you here today. We mentioned a little bit earlier on in the program in regards to Kelvin Benjamin and how he looked last night and where we should be drafting him. And that kind of led us to a discussion on the Titans. Well, I wanted to kind of change gears a little bit to a wide receiver that might have been in this tier a day ago, but I think given the news yesterday, he's probably risen. And that's Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant was, well, conditionally reinstated a little bit more yesterday, where he's now allowed to practice with his team. He's now allowed to play in preseason games with his team, but he still has one more hurdle to clear before
one more urine to pop.
Correct. One more hurdle to clear before he's officially totally reinstated into the NFL. And Corey, I never remember reinstatement being this hard.
No, I guess they want to make sure the kid is all right. You know what I'm saying? I think he was dealing with some depression also. And I think he has, you know, I think that's a part of it. And obviously his history with the marijuana, suspension. So then they probably want to monitor the situation a little more. I don't think, you know, I don't know. Listen, I'm in on the kid. I think he's top 30, whatever. If I don't have him on the team, it's not going to hurt me. But I do think he's a player you can get involved with. And I see him on the field, I might raise his ADP up a little bit. But I was reading what Michael Salafino said on Twitter the other day. Yo, if Martavis Bryant played 16 games, Antonio Brown is going to go crazy this year. Because he opens up the field so much for AB.
So he gets more targets. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, so I actually saw that as well about what Salafino was saying out there on Twitter last night. And you know, it'll just clear out space for Antonio Brown is what that will do. Now that Martavis Bryant is a little bit more clarity, Scotty, in regards to his situation, have you moved him up?
No, I don't have to. I didn't move him down at all. You know, I still think there's a ton of talent here and, you know, a very, very aggressive offense. I had him at number 28. You know, that's where he's going to stay. It's I expected him to be reinstated at some point. If it didn't happen, I would have bumped him down, but I wasn't ready to react to this. It wasn't a situation for me where I said, okay, I have him here, and then I'm going to officially wait for the reinstatement and bump him up.
You know, I waited because I had no you have no idea what Roger Goodell's going to do. So, I've kind of waited. He sits in my rankings currently at number 33. So, should I be moving him up? I'll give you some names when we come back. Talk a little bit more about Martavis Bryant. And where should we be drafting him in regards to some of the guys we talked about yesterday, like Brandon Marshall, Julian Edelman. We'll see how Martavis Bryant compares to those two guys. And we'll talk more football when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number two, just getting started. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Return here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Maddie, we were talking about Martavis Bryant here just a moment ago and where he moved up or down or at all in rankings. Like I said, for me, Martavis Bryant sits at
33 overall. Where do you have him compared to some of the guys we were talking about yesterday, like Stephon Diggs?
He's right before these guys. He's right before that pass catch and that PPR, like, trio of the Diggs, Snead, and Crowder for me. But, you know, he's a guy that we're going to see maybe in a week or two in one of these games where he's just going to, like, beat somebody bad and make
it's just going to blow up.
And yeah, because, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing him go in the fourth. I mean, I've seen him go. The highest I think he's gone is 27th, which is, you know, that's a little insane. But he's going to be a guy that's going to get pushed up. Somebody's going to look at him as that home run pick. So if you want him, maybe now's like your last chance to get him at a reasonable price. If you even consider like the somewhere in the fourth round reasonable. The first draft I did, I got him. It was the fifth round. I haven't owned him since.
Corey, said he's mentioned Jamison Crowder within those range of guys like Diggs, Snead, Crowder, et cetera. You know, you have Crowder significantly higher than that, don't you?
Diggs, Snead, Crowder?
Yeah, and Brian, he said they're all within that range.
I got Crowder at 22. I got those guys in like between that 25 and 30 range. So it's not that much of a big difference.
I got Crowder at 27. I got Brian at 28. I have Diggs at 33.
Yeah, I'm with Corey, actually. I have Crowder above these guys and actually in a little bit of a different tier. Like, I have Crowder right there with Jarvis Landry back-to-back. I think they're kind of similar. And then I have Martavis Bryant. Like, you mentioned Willie Snead and Stephon Diggs. I have him right there, Matt. What about, like, Julian Edelman and Brandon Marshall? Do you have Bryant before or after them?
Brandon Marshall, I have... Let's see where he is. I have Brandon Marshall at 33.
So you have him a little after.
Yeah, a little after. And who's the other guy?
Julian Edelman,
I currently have at 24.
So he's way. Oh, so that's a big difference than what I have. Because I have Edelman and Marshall back-to-back as of now. You have Edelman significantly higher, which I find interesting. Maybe I have to make that adjustment than Brandon Marshall.
What did you say you have Landry?
24 overall.
Okay.
24 overall. But I have Jamison Crowder.
Yeah,
right,
the thing with Landry is, I had Landry higher. I really, right now, I'm trying to figure out, is he really going to take a significant hit?
Right.
Yeah. And how to figure this out. Cause to me, he was kind of like after that Golden Tate, Keenan Allen, keep him in that cluster. I think for me, the hardest guy, honestly, to rank out of wide receivers this season is Allen Robinson. I really don't know what to expect, really what to put him at. I currently have him 22, but I think he has such a wide range of outcomes, of possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. He is hard to rank. He is. I have Landry 21. I'm not moving him. I think Cutler's going to take advantage of what talent is there.
Yeah, I don't really know. I have no idea. In regards to Jarvis Landry, I have no idea how much it will change. I mean, I don't know.
That's fair. But, I think that, you know, he's got a unique skill set, I'll say, that, you know, Cutler has never, like, been able to utilize before.
Would you guys rather have Jarvis Landry or Julian Edelman?
Jarvis Landry.
With Tannehill, who I don't like at all.
Yeah,
I just know he was going to go to Landry nonstop.
Of course.
So I mean, right now I have maybe a spot difference or something. Right now it's Julian Edelman. Before it was Landry. I don't care. I mean, give me either. If I end up with Landry, Edelman, Manny Sanders, those kind of guys, yeah. I like all three.
Yeah, they're all in the same range. It's like I have Edelman five spots behind him, but like if I'm sitting, like, you know, it's coming towards me and I'm saying, okay, I'm thinking wide receiver next and I'm looking at my queue and then Landry gets chopped off and I have to go to Edelman, I don't have a problem with it.
So I completely understand that. I just move Edelman back with Jarvis Landry, I think, because I think they're similar and I had Edelman a little bit too low.
I'd be careful with Jarvis Landry this year.
Yeah, because I mean, they're not even picking up his, you know, they're not giving him an extension. That's what kind of makes me a little nervous.
Well, they're not giving him an extension, maybe that'll motivate him.
No. They may not want to pay him. They may start to phase him out the offense and say that we don't need him.
Phase him out of the offense, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. More or less, sure. Like, okay, you know what, we're not going to pay him.
You're not going to be our guy.
Don't throw him the football.
Yeah.
Especially with Jay Cutler, who is peppered Devontae Parker, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still think he's the best wide receiver on that team, though. That's the other. I hear what Corey's saying, but the flip side of it is I think...
No, Devontae Parker is the best wide receiver on the team, talent-wise.
When healthy.
I think that Jarvis Landry, I'm not talking just talent-wise, has established himself as the best wide receiver on the team until proven otherwise. And, you know, he's he's got to be Cutler's most dependable guy. Now, Parker may have the most pure pound for found talent. I won't necessarily disagree with that, although Landry has a lot of that himself. But he's the most established, trustworthy guy that Cutler can walk in the door and his coaches can tell him, this can be your go-to guy.
But how can like, that's Cutler has to determine who his go-to guy is going to be. Not the coaches. Cutler's the one that's on the football
field
throwing
the ball. If there is a go-to guy that's established there, though, it's Landry.
Yeah, but Cutler's the quarterback now. Ryan Tannehill's not there no more.
But when he walks in the door and he looks at his receivers, he says,
he's going to be like the kid Devontae Parker. Yeah, That's my big body, heavily targeted wide receiver.
I'm not disagreeing with you. He's saying that there's a lot of upside guys, but I look at Landry. He's the guy that's done it in terms of being dependable. You know, Parker, as talented as he is, hasn't done it yet.
He'll just do it with Cutler.
I think Cutler boosts the appeal of Parker. Yes, I agree with you. But I think Landry is already an established guy for any quarterback that walks in there.
Well, here's a question. Who would you guys rather have, Martavis Bryant or Tyreek Hill?
Martavis Bryant.
I think it's a really good question. I have them separated by two spots, Tyreek Hill and Martavis Bryant. I have Manuel Sanders in the middle of them, separating them. I think...
It's Bryant.
I got them.
It's Bryant for you?
Yeah.
I got them two spots apart with Sneed right sandwiched in there.
So you have Sneed sandwiched in there. I have Manny Sanders sandwiched in there.
I have the other guys, the Sneed, Crowder, Diggs group. But for me, it's Bryant. If he's on that field, it's Martavis Bryant.
Well, you can make the conversation that we had a second ago when it came to Kelvin Benjamin, right? Like, Tyreek Hill is the number one wide receiver in Kansas City, reading all these great things. Martavis Bryant doesn't have to deal with these other weapons like Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and whatnot.
I understand, but you also got to look at quarterback. I'm a big proponent of the quarterback. Who is throwing, like we say, Drew Brees targets are created differently versus other, you know, certain other quarterbacks' targets. So you have to look at the offense. I loved watching Tyreek Hill, so I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I would draft him in the fifth round. I'd be totally cool with that. I'd be more apt to take Martavis Bryant in the fourth round.
Yeah, me too. To me, there was the point I was making with about Garcon. It's just like, I just feel like some guys are miscast as the number one wide receivers in their offense. It might be too much for them to face those top cover corners or be the primary focus of a defense every week.
I don't mind Garcon. I really like he's a guy that I do like getting in that situation.
I would like Garcon if he was a number two, not a number one.
Explain that.
I just did.
You said you would like him if he was a number two and not a number one.
I would like him if he was a number two wide receiver in San Francisco. I think he's miscast as a number one, facing top cover corners and being the focus of secondary.
Top cover corner don't make no difference. He's done it already, Scott. He's led the league before.
When has he been a number one wide receiver on his team?
He's led the damn league before, Scott.
When has he been a number one wide receiver on his team?
When has he been number one? He's led the league before, Scott. Nobody in the NFL had more catches than him. That's numero uno, Scott. That's like 3 years ago, Scott.
Who?
The last time.
Shanahan. With who was the quarterback?
I don't give a shit. It was Robert Griffin III.
I think it's San Francisco. Brian Hoyer's a quarterback. And, you know,
Brian Hoyer's done good for himself. Outside
of him, though, he's got no other compliments.
I mean, look.
That's the big thing.
That's the good thing. He don't need no other compliments. We want him to be the only compliment.
Okay, he's going to get double teamed. Defenses are going to roll safety to his side.
Then the argument you can make was last season when he had DeSean Jackson around him, Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed. He still caught 79 passes, almost over 1,000 yards. So I don't know.
If he had those guys around him, it's like, let me be clear on this, though. It's like, you know, I'm not saying Garcon's going to drop off the face of the earth and I wouldn't take him at some point. I just don't like him quite as much as you guys. I have him right outside the wide receiver three cusp.
Where do you have him ranked at?
I have him 38th.
I have Pierre Garcon at 35. Where do you have him, Corey?
It's 36. You got him ranked too high then, Scott, if you don't like him that much. Then you have him ranked too high.
I don't think he's a slam dunk wide receiver three for me, is what I'm saying. I think he's gonna be unreliable.
All right.
Kyle Shanahan back 2013 when Pierre Garcon did lead the team in receptions. And the lead in the receptions, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, Mike Shanahan the head coach. The quarterbacks were RG3 and Kirk Cousins. There you go. and Rex Grossman, your boy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rex Grossman. He can play. I'm not tripping off of Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon can play.
He was number one wide receiver that year, Scotty, for the record.
I feel like he doesn't have enough compliments there in San Francisco. I think ultimately that's what scares me about him.
I'll read you his compliments back in 2013. It'll scare you just as much. Come back. More Roto Experts in the Morning here next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Pierre Garçon, Scott Engel. You're concerned about the supporting cast around him. Concerned about Brian Hoyer and saying there's nobody else to take anything away from him in San Francisco. That the coverage away from him in San Francisco, which worries you, right?
Yeah.
Paraphrasing correctly, I don't want to misrepresent anything. Would you like to know his supporting cast in Washington when he led?
Jordan Reed, Santana Moss.
No, not Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed not there yet. Santana Moss
was
there.
2013?
Yes, sir.
Didn't Jordan Reed catch 45 passes for that team that year?
He did not, because Jordan Reed was not on the team that year.
Oh, I thought he was on the team that year.
No, sir. Fred Davis was on the team that year.
Oh, he sucked.
Oh, God, did you hear
Niles
him?
Paul was on the team that year.
He's still on the team now.
Mm-hmm. Wide receivers included Pierre Garçon, Santana Moss, Josh Morgan, Josh Bellamy, Aldrick Robinson.
Remember the Aldrick Robinson?
It's funny because Aldrick Robinson is also on the 49ers.
Jordan Reed was on the IR at the end of the year. That's why.
That was 2013.
That's why I don't have him.
Yeah, he did catch 45
passes.
Yeah.
But he was finished the year on the IR, which is why I don't have him on this roster.
Right.
Just to be clear. Okay. But that's Jordan Reed's rookie year. So it wasn't like Jordan Reed was a standout tight end yet by any means.
You saw it coming, though. I remember seeing him play. I saw them play the boys at FedEx that year. It was wild. You know what I'm saying? That's the game Romo hurt his back, as a matter of fact.
So I agree with you, Scott. Like, Jordan Reed caught the 45 passes. You saw him going to break out. But he wasn't Jordan Reed yet.
No, he wasn't.
And Kirk Cousins wasn't Kirk Cousins yet either. You feel what I'm saying?
Not at all.
Yeah. Nope. You're right. So
there wasn't much. So listen, there wasn't much here. And Pierre Garçon led the NFL in receptions.
No, okay. Okay. So you know what, though? Yeah, you guys make some good points. And maybe I'm wrong here, you know, but, you know, it's like Matt says, like, you know, if he listens to the opinions and stuff like that of people that he respects, and I respect everybody at this table. So, you know, maybe that's something to consider that I actually didn't think of, you know. Before people start texting Corey behind my back saying,
stop the crying, Scott.
Stop the crying.
Stop the damn crying, Scott. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead. Just do what you got to do.
You cry about people on YouTube.
Just do what you got to do. I'm joking, Scott. I'm here for my people. You know what I'm saying, Scott?
I see you upset about it.
It doesn't upset me.
Okay.
I don't care.
It's
fantasy executive fantasy executive is a damn celebrity, Scott. People always have something to say about me, Scott. I don't care what they got to say.
Yes, you
I'm
do.
Still going to be out here getting that
you
bag.
You get very upset about those YouTube comments.
I did not get upset about that, Scott. You're the crybaby on the damn group, Scott. Everybody knows that.
I'm the crybaby? Oh, you didn't listen to me. You listened to Dr. A. Look, before somebody goes texting Corey behind my back and saying
Scott,
that I crumpled on my
crying.
Opinion, all right, come at me on Twitter. It's like, you know, if somebody else you hear respects, make a good point. You respect it.
Anyway, I wanted to move on here from Pierre Garçon for a
Thank
second.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I wanted to go to New England, where for years we sat here and tried to guess the running back.
For who?
New England.
Oh.
We tried to guess the running back for the Patriots. And more often than not, we guessed wrong, week in and week out, as Corey will tell you about Jonas Gray.
Brandon Bolden.
And Brandon Bolden, right? I mean, we've done this thing before. Now, we sat here just a month or two ago, or maybe a little bit later than that, and we talked up Mike Gillisley. Could have come in this LeGarrette Blount role, be the red zone guy, he can catch passes, he can pay all three downs, and we really like Mike Gillisley quite a bit. We said, hey, you know what? Even though they signed Rex Burkhead for basically the same amount of money, most of us chose Gillisley. We like James White for his spot, Gillisley for the big back spot. Gillisley hasn't practiced in like a week due to his own injuries. Mm-hmm. And with injuries mounting, that presents opportunities for other players. When the Patriots listed their depth chart, which means even less than most people listing their depth chart, they listed Deion Lewis and James White as the co-starters. Fine. Let them be the co-starting pass-catching running backs. No problem. But it's Mike Gillisley being hurt that has stood out to me in a major way. Because Rex Burkhead has soaked up all of the quote-unquote bigger back snaps.
Which Gillisley was getting before he got hurt.
Absolutely.
And what I look at this is possibly buying opportunity to push him down. I've stated numerous times, whether you draft Gillisley or not, Rex Burkhead should be taken in every league because of his price. You should be taking him. Even if he's never the number one back or something, it's football, guys get injured. Belichick's crazy. He's going to move guys around. He's a guy to have on your bench at worst case. He plays in a terrific offense. He is a very good player, too. I still believe, if healthy, there's still a month to go before the season actually kicks off. So I do believe if healthy and back on the field, as the type of runner that he is that we saw last season, and the fact that they went and they got Gillisley after Burkhead. They could have been...
Correct.
They could have been content.
They could be very Burkhead. Content, absolutely.
You know, they had to take him from the Bills, pay a draft pick, all that stuff, and actually pay him money. So I'm still going to say it's Gillisley's the lead dog, but I do love Burkhead. I think Burkhead's a very good player, and maybe he starts moving up now. But still, if he's anywhere from round 12 on, he should be on your team.
With Burkhead, you know, he's a better runner than maybe we've seen. And Belichick, you know, when he picks somebody off, when his crew picks somebody off, you have to keep at least them on your watch list. So Matt's right there. With Gillisley, and I'm talking more to the mainstream player here than maybe like any people at this table or like more of our experienced listeners using, that some people are assuming that he's just going to slide into that LeGarrette Blount role. So somebody actually asked me and another fantasy expert on Twitter the other day, would you take Gillisley in the third round? Now, of course, you know, we're all going to react at this table like it's crazy or whatever, but people think they're going to step into that same role and have the same numbers. It's just not going to happen.
Keep your hand on your side.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen, ultimately. Gillisley will just wind up with 18 touchdowns or whatnot. I think this backfield, at least to start off, it's going to be a bit of a conundrum, ultimately. And Mike Gillisley, even if he starts the year, if he fumbles week one...
Oh, you can forget about
Burkhead's
it.
Burkhead's going to come in.
In a Belichick system, you do not fumble.
But
no.
Well, hold on.
He doesn't tolerate that. To me for You're right. I'm saying I'm agreeing with you.
I haven't finished my thought before you agree or disagree. If Mike Gillisley fumbles, Rex Burkhead's going to come in. LeGarrette Blount fumbled last year and stayed in because it was LeGarrette Blount's job. Like, he did fumble it away. I watched it. I owned him. And LeGarrette Blount didn't lose his job because it was LeGarrette Blount's role. It was his. He was the workhorse, touchdown running back. There was nobody else there to take that job. Certainly not Brandon Bolden. When it comes to now, and Mike Gillisley, when he's in for the same amount of money, basically, it's going to be the hot hand. There is zero guarantee in my mind for either of those players.
Yeah,
the same goes for James White and Deion Lewis, by the way.
Yeah, with Blount, too, though, he had an established history with Belichick for
Absolutely.
A long time. You know, a lot of running backs, especially when they break them in there in their first year with Belichick, you fumble, like you said, you're off.
Correct.
You're off.
So I think that those that want to reach out for Gillisley, you got to remember this. You have to remember this. It's not going to be as easy, as Scott was mentioning, as simply just replacing the stats of LeGarrette Blount.
I'll say one thing. Gillisley is a far superior runner than LeGarrette Blount.
Sure.
So far superior. And look, the 18 touchdowns, if anybody's putting Gillisley down for 18, the guy did score 9 with Buffalo as, you know, the secondary back. But I like both these backs. I'm going to like Gillislee if he slides down even more.
Where you want to draft him at, Matt?
7th, 8th round.
See, he's going in 7-8 right now, and he ain't been on the practice field in a week. It's starting to worry me a little bit. So you're not practicing. Then you got the situation where you got, you know, Belichick, you got Burkhead behind you. I'm laying off right now. I'm going to move down my rankings over the weekend. I'm laying off right now. I need to see him get back on the practice field. Too risky right here when I can get James White 2 rounds later.
I'd still rather have Gillislee than White, though.
If you're drafted now, though, you may not end up with Gillislee on your team because other people are still going to keep him in that range.
Potentially so.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to do that, though.
No, what I'm saying is, to your point, if you do a draft within the next 2 to 3 days, Corey, with that sort of approach, you won't end up with Gillislee.
I don't know. The way I feel about it right now, Hunt is over Gillislee for me pretty solidly right now. And then it just becomes a mismatch. I think I might move. I think Rob Kelly. Oh, God. I don't want to do that either.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you're going to take guys like, you want, who do you want, C.J. Anderson?
I can't fool with C.J. Anderson. The thing about it is, but Gillislee is not practicing. You feel what I'm saying?
No, I hear. He's not practicing. It is concerning that
he's not
in
a situation where they don't have no love for him. You feel what I'm saying?
I agree.
There's no love for him there.
Listen to me. I agree with you. This is why I brought this up.
Yeah.
There's zero loyalty there.
The thing about it is, he's in a grouping with dudes that are trash, too. Like Paul Perkins and Doug Martin and LeGarrette Blount. So you know what I'm saying?
So
they ain't shit either.
Ultimately, for me, I had Mike Gillislee above all of that crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had him at 23 overall in my running back ranks. I think, given where I am right now, I'm going to follow up with a question with you, Matt, in a second. But given where I am right now, I had him in a grouping with Theo Riddick, which I know is very tough because they're totally opposite. Theo Riddick, Tevin Coleman.
Oh, Tevin Coleman's higher than this guy.
He is now.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram, I think, is very interesting.
Ingram's higher than
him. He's higher now. Yeah, and LeGarrette Blount, who I think...
Him and LeGarrette Blount are about the same. Right. I take the younger player, but I want the healthy guy. Hey, it's getting to the point with Gillislee now. Until he get on the practice field, I think I'll put Frank Gore above him.
Well, Gillislee or Eddie Lacy?
Oh, no. Gillislee. Eddie Lacy sucks.
If you talk about Coleman and Ingram, you know, I fed them significantly higher than Gillislee.
Okay.
To your point that there's no love for him, there is, though. They went out and got him. They identified him for the divisional rival, and this is somebody that they like.
And then they put him 17th on the depth chart.
Well, I don't say
give two craps about the depth chart.
Especially New England.
Yeah, especially New England. If anything, he's going to be the most, you know, I don't know what I'm looking for right now, but I'm not going to. Look, it is very
important
points, but I think, like Corey said, it's going to come to a point where, you know, after Kareem Hunt, there's the C.J. Andersons, the Mameer Abdullahs, the Eddie Lacy's. So I think I like Gillislee better.
And I think that's reasonable. Think about this during the break, Matt. This point where I'm moving him down, Corey's moving him down, Scotty's potentially moving him down. Are you seeing this, think about during the break, as a value upgrade from Mike Gillislee? Are you going to be able to buy more value due to the injury and where he's in the depth chart? Think about that, and we'll answer when we come back on the Roto Experts.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
I asked going to break about the value of Mike Gillislee given the injury. Matt Modica, you are the high panelist on Mike Gillislee. Do you believe that Mike Gillislee is now a value?
I think he can become a value. I have him at 26. I have him ahead of the guys like the C.J. Andersons, the Amir Abdullahs. And if he starts to slide over this next week or two, I'm still going to be interested, and I'm still going to target Rex Burkhead. I mean, this is what I've done in the past. I only have a couple of shares of Gillislee, but I do think I do think that Belichick saw something in this guy to go out there and get him. They didn't need to go get Mike Gillislee. I mean, they could have been content, as Burkhead, I mentioned before, sure, with Burkhead. The problem is, I do like both these runners, but I think the way the Patriots operate, they know how to use players. It is a little... Look, I'm not going to draft him in the sixth round. I'll tell you that. But it's more like, you know, end of the seventh, eighth round. If he's in the ninth round, say, over the next week, because he's not practicing and he didn't play in the game and stuff like that, then I'm going to be buying it. Look, guys going in the ninth round are like Samaje Perine. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob Kelly's mm-hmm. going like ninth round, tenth mm-hmm. round. I'm still going to value Gillislee over those guys.
I have him at 30, and the 2 points to make about him is like... You look at the depth chart right now, like Matt says, doesn't mean anything, really. And the other thing is, like I talked about with Corey Davis, it's like, okay, the guy's hurt right now, but, you know, very good chance week one that, you know, he's a goal line guy for a very powerful offense.
I got him at 25, and there's a lot of trash behind him. You feel what I'm saying? The thing about it is I got James White at 30, so that's that New England foolishness that you have going on right there. But I got Blunt at 28, so kind of the same, you know, range, whatever. It's just, I'm looking at it right now, when I get to that tier, I'm going to drop out. Then I'm going to start looking tight end. I'm going to start looking quarterback. I'm going to start looking wide receiver. I don't want that grouping of running back right there, that whole Theo Riddick, you know what I'm saying? Theo Riddick, who's I just want to see him play because he's not healthy. That Frank Gore, Doug Martin, LeGarrette Blunt, that's a lot of trash in that area. Gillislee was the best player in that area, but now you take him out of that because of this injury. Eddie Lacy's that stiff is in that area. And you got Fat Rob and Piron, Matt Forte. It's a lot of doodle in that area right there. So I want to get away from that. And then maybe I just drop down to the Jonathan Williams, the Jaquizz Rodgers, the Tim Hightowers, the Burkhead a little bit later on. Because right now, like Terrence Rest, like I like those guys. I like that tier when you come down the board some more than I like what they got going on with that Paul Perkins and the rest of that bullshit in that area.
So you say it's like doo-doo and Derrick
Henry. Derrick
area.
Henry's the person in that area that can pop, but obviously he need to end it. My bad, Greg.
So do you call that tier like the fantasy men's room?
Oh boy, yeah.
Smells like doo doo.
Yeah. Sorry, Greg, I said bad word. Yeah. I'm glad my children are listening.
Two of the running backs in the seventh round that I've been liking. I'm just going up my draft from Thursday night, which was Riddick and Hunt. So those are guys that I still want pieces of. I think Riddick, as they mentioned, he's healthy now, and he's going to be more involved in the red zone, which I think is a smart move, talking about spreading man as well. And I just love everything about Kareem Hunt. Like I said, from the first draft we did on draft weekend, I took him in the end of the sixth. I've taken him in the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth. So wherever, I'm going to be in on him. So I do think it depends on how you're setting up your team and how comfortable you are. Have a game plan. That's always the way to win.
I'm with you there. I look at my ranks right now, PPR, on rotoexperts.com. Get a part of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount. I have Riddick 22 and I have Hunt 23. So I'm right there with you.
For me, I have Kareem Hunt a little bit lower than you guys. I'm at 31 at the moment. I have Riddick 22. I have Tevin Coleman 23. Really, the tier very similar to Corey. Mark Ingram 24. Gillislee 25. LeGarrette Blunt around there. Amir Abdullah. Eddie Lacy.
It's a lot of trash in that area, to be honest with you. Nobody in that area. I got Lamar Miller in that area. Nobody in that area.
Really.
How dare you?
I got Lamar Miller 26. You know what I mean? Nobody in that area really, to me, looks like they're going to hit. Don't get me wrong. Riddick has the biggest upside because of his PPR ability, but injuries are going to be a concern with him. I'm looking at that. And then these PPR running backs, they are not. They are very, very, very inconsistent in their play. But Riddick is probably is the creme de la creme in that area. You feel what I'm saying?
I would
do Frank Gore before I do Mike Gillislee if I'm on the clock tonight.
Frank Gore or Lamar Miller?
Oh. I don't know why.
I would go with my son. You know, what's his face? Frank Gore.
I don't know why you're so down.
Because he sucks, Greg.
No, he does
Lamar
not.
Lamar Miller only scored 5 times last year. I think they frustrated a lot of people. I have him at 17th. You know, I think I'm a little low on him, but not quite as low as Corey.
What can y'all tell me about Lamar Miller to tell me that I have him too low? Something about Lamar Miller explain me why I got him too low and he hasn't done nothing in his NFL career. Tell me why. Y'all so high on damn Lamar Miller. I'm the one that got him wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because you look at things in too black and white. Who's it say?
It is black and white,
it's
Scott.
It's not. There's shades of gray.
He sucks.
No, you said I'm high on Lamar Miller. I'm not. I said 17th. That's high. That's just high compared to you.
Yeah, that's high compared to me.
But if you're saying that I'm high on Lamar Miller, that's not correct.
You're telling me I'm wrong on him.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, no, I just said that I was wrong on him.
You're not listening. Greg, then have Greg explain to me why I'm wrong on him. Hold on. I'm saying the fact is that you are the low guy on Lamar Miller at this table. That doesn't mean I'm high on him necessarily. I'll be okay with him as RB2. You want one thing, I'll throw to you, Yeah, until last year, he was averaging 4.6 yards per carry.
And then last year, Then he stunk last year. He was horrific last year, Lamar Miller. I'm not doing this, Lamar Miller.
You know what else, though, too? Last year.
And then he getting his kid going to take his job. The foreman dude going to take his kid.
Last year, though, and I agree, he was disappointing. Last year, and Greg may agree with me this, the quarterback situation was so bad that A, teams were able to focus on him, and B, he wasn't getting red zone opportunities. You know the quarterback situation is going to be better this year. Don't say I'm high on him because I'm not, but I think with improved quarterback situation there and they have a good offensive line, I'm okay with him at number 17.
268 carries last year, Sussman. Just over 1,000 yards. He didn't know me wrong. He averaged 4 yards a pop.
He's never.
He always has.
If this guy's carrying the ball 268 times, Greg, he should have 1250, not 1070.
Listen to me. I am not disputing that fact. Number one, Scott, if you're not high on him, let me defend my guy.
Where do you have him ranked?
I have him 12 overall.
Okay, you got him at 12.
I understand that you're at 17. You're not high on him. I am, but you're not even letting me defend my guy. The fact is, at 268 rush attempts last year. That's an F-load of rush attempts. And I get it. The yards, they weren't good. And yet he still averaged at least 4 yards a carry, which he has done every single season of his career. People talk about Deontay Foreman being there and how this is a detriment to Lamar Miller. I look at it differently. I don't necessarily need Lamar Miller to get 268 rush attempts again. I don't want him to do that because clearly he doesn't stay fresh when that happens. The amount of red zone attempts, if you remember early last year, there were plenty of them and he could not get into the end zone. It was regression that we knew was coming while he finished with 5. If he can convert a couple of them this year, where he is still, as much as you want to disagree and look at an Alfred Blue or a Deontay Foreman, he is still the man in Houston. He is 26 years old. That's not 30. That's not 29. That's 26 years old, the prime of his career, as the man with, as Scott mentioned, a better quarterback situation, a guy that had 8 touchdowns each of the previous 2 years in Miami. To me, where he is going, and I've said this millions of times on this show, that if you're guaranteeing somebody to over 200 carries, you're guaranteeing him that he is the man, which he is. Deontay Foreman has 0 pass protection experience. He has 0 pass catching ability. Lamar Miller is the unquestioned starter in Houston. If I guarantee you all of this, you will take him as an RB2 and like it and be happy and be acceptable.
I'm not going to do it, and I don't want nobody to rock with the fantasy executive to do it. This guy's an effing bum, Lamar Miller. He carried the football that much times, he should get 1,300 yards. The fact that he carried the ball, the fact that he played last night, Greg, in the first preseason game of the year, the fact that he had to get out there and suit up shows the lack of respect they have for Lamar Miller.
DeAndre Hopkins suited up.
Okay, but DeAndre Hopkins.
You have no respect for DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins runs routes. He don't have to get out there and mix it up. Lamar Miller is a dude. Come on, man. He should have been sitting out last night, running back like that.
Bill Bryan played everybody.
I don't think
the
team disrespects him.
I don't know. I just can't fool with the dude. I'm not doing it. This is a bum. He's a bum.
Your projections for Lamar Miller this year.
Huh?
Yardage and touchdowns.
He lose his job. That's my projection.
No, what's your projections for him?
I don't have a projection for him. He going to lose his gig because he's going to lose his job. I'm not.
So what's your yardage and touchdown projections for him?
My yardage projection is under 1,000. My touchdowns is about 3.
Okay, you?
He's in a timeshare. He's in a timeshare. Wow. He's in a timeshare.
He's in a timeshare.
Now you're really jumping
gonna
out
be,
there.
He's going to be in a timeshare.
3 touchdowns and under 1,000 yards?
Where are you getting that from?
Huh?
Where makes you think he's in a timeshare?
The kid, the Foreman dude, is going to be a better player than Lamar Miller.
What? Where do you see that?
Because jumping I can see how he runs.
He was against third stringers last night.
I'm telling you, I see Lamar Miller run against first stringers. Lamar Miller is trash. I don't want to curse no more.
Your projections.
I don't make projections, Scott. I'm not my client. I don't make projections. I have Lamar Miller ranked at 12 overall.
How many yards is he going to rush for this year? It's an easy question.
I believe that Lamar Miller will once again rush for over 1,000 yards. I'll say 1,200 yards. I think he has a better...
1,200?
1,200.
How many touchdowns?
8.
Son said, I'm not Mike Clay.
There are significant differences there. 1,208, he says, Corey.
That's too much for me. We disagree on him.
We're like this.
Jumping out there. 3 touchdowns.
We're not disagreeing on him. We'll say, I can't wait till Lamar Miller has 3 touchdowns a week. 1, baby! I love him. We'll come back. We'll talk more football. Get to the other side of hour number 3. Yeah. When we return here on the Motor Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, Scott Engel, Corey Parson, hanging out with you here on a bright morning. Coming up next hour, Dr. A, Inside Injuries, will join the program, talk a little football with him. We also want to get into the preseason week number 1, which really goes into full swing tonight. Yep. We have 7 games on the schedule this evening. So we're going to go game by game, and we're going to talk about what we want to see, if anything, tonight with so much football going on this evening. I also want to get to tonight in hour number 3. I'll get back to the conversation, Scott, that we were having yesterday in regards to diversifying teams and whatnot. I know we had a long discussion on that yesterday. I want to go back to our poll question. I want to let you know how that turned out, as well as bring up a question that somebody asked me for you. They wanted me to bring up on the program. I want to do that at the top of hour 3, so look forward to that.
All right. Lots to cover here. You know, we're all hot and heavy with fantasy football right now.
Absolutely.
Two more league invites yesterday.
Are you going to accept them?
One of the two I am. The other one I'm uncertain because, you know, they play with the ESPN default format where you use 17 weeks and 2 weeks of playoff games, and I just don't like that. Anything that uses week 17 in my estimation is, you know, just like too much of a crapshoot when it comes to the championship week.
Sure.
And I don't like the 2-week playoffs. It's just too out of the ordinary for me.
And that's fair. Yeah, and that's fair. A couple of quick hitters I wanted to get.
The other one's a dynasty league, though, and I'm going to accept the invite because I'm not involved in any.
So you wanted to get in the dynasty game?
Yeah.
What did you think of Christian McCaffrey last night?
I thought he looked very good from natural talent. I thought 80% of what I saw was positive. You know, it's like the guy can gain 5 yards in an off-tackle run, you know, just by bursting through the hole as quickly as he does. And, you know, he's had so much natural talent that just like from his initial burst out of the blocks, he can pick up positive yardage and he can make people miss. The one thing I did see, though, I was talking to Corey about it off the air, in short space at one point, he acted like a rookie, like he was between two defenders and he tried to give them a shimmy. Like a shimmy sort of fake, and like NFL defenders are not going to fall for that. So, you know, that shows that you're a rookie, et cetera. Maybe that worked in some NCAA matchups. It's not going to work in the NFL. But I would say most of what I saw is positive. There's so much natural talent there. But that also showed me that, you know, that's why Jonathan Stewart's still in the mix. The kid does have to learn some finer points of the game, but it's mostly positive. And the other thing is, you can't overwork him. He's 5'11", 202. He's 202 pounds, so if you're going to let him run inside, the positive about him, he can do it. It's almost like in a Jamal Charles kind of mode, like he doesn't need a ton of carries in order to give you a very good day because he can make the most of every touch, but you don't want to overwork him because he's only 202.
As you said, Jonathan Stewart was still in the mix last night, very much so, really, in the mix last night for Carolina, and I don't want people to forget that. Where should you be drafting Jonathan Stewart?
It's like late, you know, maybe like 9th, 10th round, something like that.
Well, it's not that late because 9th, 10th round, from my understanding, and that's where some of these guys like your boy Samaje Perine's going.
Yeah, I'll definitely take him over.
Well, Stewart. I understand like the upside's there. I just don't think Jonathan Stewart just disappears as quickly as people think he does.
He's going to be a part of a timeshare, though.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not perceived to have any upside.
Scott, that is all true, right? He's part of a timeshare. He doesn't have the upside. Christian McCaffrey's also part of that timeshare, and he's in your top 20.
I think that eventually, though, the timeshare is going to start to melt away as the season goes on.
I don't know.
And I have Jonathan Stewart at 43.
I don't know how quickly he goes away. Or as quickly
I say over time.
I know.
I think by week five or week six, it's going to be mostly Christian McCaffrey.
I don't agree with that. That's why I'm the low guy on Christian McCaffrey, but that's okay.
Besides, he doesn't need to make the most of every touch either.
That is true. Well, he needs to make the most of every touch. He just doesn't need many touches to do it. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Hour number three coming your way here on the Roto Experts.